This is where the worlds of photography and physiotherapy meet.
Okay. Is there more, Adam?
No, that's it. That's the end. So you have photography. You're the photographer. I'm the physiotherapist. Now we've brought into the fold another photographer via the world of physiotherapy in Dwayne.
Isn't that the plot of the new Spider-Man movie?
If it isn't, it should be.
Hello and welcome to episode 72 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan. I'm in tubing in Germany, and with me, as always,
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
And that is not all. Also, welcome to the show, newcomer, Dwayne Gervan.
Hello, Dwayne Gervan from Vancouver, British Columbia.
You know, I knew I was going to blow it. I wasn't sure. I should have asked you ahead of time if it was Gervan or Gervan.
That's okay. It's either way, I'm good.
Okay.
What about Gervin?
Sure, all three.
And nicknames? You got any nicknames?
No, none we can say on the air.
Okay, the Gerv.
Okay. Swervin' Gervin?
That's not bad. I like that one. A little rip off of Fernandez.
Yeah.
Swervin' Mervin.
That's right.
I was thinking either the Gerv or, for some reason, Honey Boy Wilson works.
Oh, the Gervinator.
There you go. So where are you from, Dwayne?
I'm from Langley, BC.
Langley, British Columbia. I've heard of it. Yeah, so welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Before we introduce Dwayne fully, let's recap. Adam, tell us about the Ace Broadcasting Network. Are we on yet?
I don't know. You haven't given me an update.
Okay, then no.
Okay, we're not on.
Although, to be fair, if we do get on, if and when we get on, I'm probably going to jettison you pretty quickly. They have a no dead weight policy over there.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow. Ouch. Wow. Starting off with a little bit of a sour note.
Well, okay. I'll probably keep you around for a little bit, depending on.
I make you look good.
That's a good point. It's like just standing next to you. That's good thinking.
Yeah.
No, once again, what we're talking about is the two hosers are making the effort to try to become a part of Adam Carolla's Ace Broadcasting Network. Now, we sort of described it last week. I won't get into it. Lucky for you, Adam.
Thank goodness.
About all the reasons that you should help us get on the network. Don't do it just for us. It's not like, okay, we're going to go out there and make $1 million now, and who do we think we are? It's in a much broader sense, it's a much bigger deal. So for this week, just trust me. So help us retweet, email, whatever it is. Get on the Ace Broadcasting Network. And if you don't listen to Adam Carolla's show, you should have a listen. Subscribe to it in iTunes and check it out.
And it's free, right?
It is 100% free.
Wow.
And there's lots of different shows. He's got a daily show, which is just your standard kind of radio type show. He's got a car show.
Tell me more, Al.
No, just go check it out, adamcarolla.com.
Okay. Do you listen to it, Dwayne?
Oh, of course I do.
No, really? In all honesty?
No, oh. I don't. I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla, but I don't listen to the show.
That's a good lie, though, until Adam ratted you out.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll watch reruns of The Man Show anytime.
Mm-hmm.
That's my Adam Carolla frame of reference, is The Man Show. I love that show.
And that's a lot of people. That's their frame of reference, yeah. So I do like his daily podcast. He's got good guests and all that. And it's the future of broadcasting. So we want to be
right.
We want to be part of that. So, okay, now in the show notes it says intro Dwayne again. So let's hear more about Dwayne.
Tell us about yourself, Dwayne. What kind of photographer are you? What do you do in photography world?
Well, what I do, I take pictures of whoever will pay me, really. I do a lot of long exposure stuff, as you guys have seen. I also do a ton of different lighting workshops. So helping people out with creative lighting, setting a mood and telling a story with light.
And Dwayne, how long have you been taking pictures?
I've been photographing for about 14 years now. So quite a while.
And you shoot with a...
I shoot primarily with Canon gear, sort of whatever fits the bill. I quite like the 5D Classic is my favorite camera, but you know, I think you can make great images with you know, almost any gear. You just have to learn it and know it.
Right. So this week, just to shift gears a little bit, this week we saw, did you guys see the Twitter launch? I don't know if that's actually a word. That's something I may have invented, of the stolen photo controversy.
I heard about it via both yourself and Dwayne, but that's as far as I know about it.
I watched it happen in real. Like, I just kind of came across it from someone had tweeted the link out, and I sort of watched it happen in real time, and it was surreal to sort of watch. Well, what ended up happening is, I guess there was a photographer from the States somewhere who had decided to pad her resume with other people's photos. And she had stolen large chunks of other people's complete weddings and basically rebranded them as her own. And I think somebody noticed Vancouver in the background of some of the shots that had been claimed to be elsewhere. And that's kind of how it all started. And they put the word out that, hey, she's been stealing, and it spread quickly. So it was pretty amazing to see that happen. I think the lady, I'm not sure how she brands herself, in the States felt horrible about it. I think it was kind of seems to me like what she thought would be an innocuous mistake taken way overboard.
Right.
But yeah, to me, the interesting part of the whole story was watching this kind of unfold on the internet.
Yeah. But in all honesty, I mean, this obviously was an incident that got a lot of attention. But I mean, come on, this sort of thing, I'm sure, is going on everywhere. Is it not?
That's what I hear. I hear this is pretty fairly common. I think this one was odd because it was such a huge chunk of content that was basically rebranded.
Right.
Which probably isn't the right word, rebranded. I think that's actually a phrase he used for something else. But I think she had used large chunks of text as well that she'd copied and pasted about photography and used that on her site. So it was kind of an odd scenario that sort of took place. But yeah.
There you go.
That's that.
Twitter Lanch. Thank goodness you put that in the show notes.
Yeah. The other thing is I have a question for you, a ethical dilemma.
Okay.
Let's say you're at a garage sale. Okay.
I love garage sales.
Why do you love garage sales?
I don't know, because my mom used to take me to them when I was a kid and always go looking for what we called bargoons.
Okay, well, I wasn't actually like threatening you. I really wanted to know why you liked them.
Yeah.
Because they can be great. They can also be ungreat. But that's not the point. But let's say you're at a garage sale, and then you happen to spot a painting, and you offer the guy $50 for that painting.
Right.
Right? But what you don't tell him is that you're an art expert, and you recognize that this is one of the group of seven.
Okay.
And you're going to probably resell it. And then you resell it at auction for $130,000.
Right.
What's the ethics behind that?
I think it's, you know, if a person wants to sell their stuff and they're willing to sell it for a price, regardless of what it's worth, then I don't think there's much more ethical to it than that.
You're okay?
I'm okay with that. In all honesty, I'm okay with that. If you have something that valuable, you better do your research.
Okay. Dwayne, what do you think?
I agree with Adam that you know, you should really know what you're selling. I think myself, if that happened, that I purchased something and sold it, I would return with some sort of monetary thank you to the person, but I think that would be an awkward situation as well.
I thought of that too. If you sell it for, because I'm on that page as well, where I thought, you know, like I would feel bad for the person because maybe you don't know, but maybe on the other hand, maybe they bought it for a dollar and they're ripping
they've
you
already
off.
Made 5,000%.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, in that regard, but what if you show up with, you know, hey, great, I feel bad, here's $10,000, and all of a sudden they want the full ride. So it could be an issue. This just happened in Vancouver, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With a piece of art?
With a group of seven for painting.
There you go.
So, yeah, I always thought that would be kind of weird to do, to sit there and have to poker face it at the...
Yeah.
The garage
since it's never going to happen, I'll probably win the lottery sooner than that happens. I don't think we really have to worry. But again, on a smaller scale, so how is it any different than if you see something that someone's selling at a garage sale that they're selling for, you know, $20 and really it's got a value of like $400? Now, somehow you don't feel guilty about that, right?
Huh. That's a good point.
It's no different in my opinion, just because you're getting something and you know the value of it. And if it's going to be, whether it's $50 or $500,000, it's still, you're still, if you know the value of something, I don't think at a garage sale you have any ethical obligation to say, hey, listen, that thing is worth $500,000. I don't, honestly, if someone's selling something at a garage sale, they're selling it at a garage sale. Too bad, so sad.
Moving on.
Yeah,
I think that pretty much answers it. Okay, now I don't feel bad. Okay, just for the record, I didn't buy a group of seven painting.
No, nor did I.
This wasn't me who just made this happen. But, yeah. So what did you shoot this week, Adam?
I shot some
Just
pictures.
Kidding, Adam. We're going to let the guests go first.
Oh, that hurt. I didn't
Are
shoot
Are you kidding?
Anything. I'm just going to take that back. I didn't shoot anything.
I can't believe you answered that way.
I thought it was rude that you were asking, but I didn't want to make you feel bad.
Nah, you failed. Dwayne, what'd you shoot this week?
All I've got up to this week is a bunch of electronic products. So it was kind of a boring week, easy lighting scenarios, and well, it's kind of
this
mundane.
This is for work? You're shooting these for like for a client?
This is for a client, yeah. He's a high-end pro audio manufacturer and has... speakers and mixers and microphones constantly coming in, so they go on his website.
And what were you? And so you're obviously trying to light it in a particular. Like I've never really experimented with how you would do product shots. I know they sell, like, you know, I've seen at the camera store some of these little, for small items, these little you know, white background kits that are just small enough to put a product in and then take a shot. So are you setting up something in that sort of scenario?
No, these ones, like most of his stuff is quite large. Like his pro mixers will be, you know, 48 track mixers. So they're 7 feet long and 2.5 feet deep. So it's a standard white background, just the seamless paper, you know, the 9 foot stuff. And I just light it with two lights on the background just to blow the white out. And then one big softbox lighting the product.
Sounds like your setup, Al, for white background portraits that you probably shot with some of the pictures I saw you post this weekend.
I shot some this week. It's my go-to. It's my go-to setup for quick portraits.
Yeah.
So why do you use a white background, Dwayne?
Well, I use white for products just because of the minimalistic look, as well as for clipping. When we want to remove the backgrounds, it's fantastically easy.
Yeah, it makes it very simple. One of the reasons I do it is just it creates a nice, simple background. People seem to like it. It makes it all about the subject. So that's why I like to shoot it. So what did you... Okay, let's get into what I shot then. I shot a bunch of white background.
Hey, wait, whoa.
No, but this is what we call a segue because we just mentioned it to me. I should take the ball and run with it.
Okay,
it's like on the first page of podcasting manual they send you out. Always run with it. So,
all right, run with it.
My sister was in town, and so I shot some portraits of her, and some of them were white backgrounds. Some of them did gray, and just basically her and my daughter. So that was it. And then a bunch of shots of, because we showed her around the town and that sort of interesting stuff. But she's back now, back in Vancouver.
She's back.
Yeah.
Great.
That's it.
Yeah. Do I get to go now?
Well, somehow.
Because you kind of like turned this into all about you again.
Somehow I made my people portraits less or more boring than product shots. That's good.
Well, at first I thought Dwayne was just taking pictures of random electronics in his house, so I'm glad to hear it was for a customer.
Okay, Adam, now here we're saving the best for last, man. What did you shoot?
I shot pictures of my daughter's tea party, birthday party. So how was that?
How did that go?
That went well. I didn't take a ton of photos during the party because I had some parenting responsibilities, ensuring that the 5-year-olds didn't tear our house apart.
Right.
So, what I did do is I set up a little photo, I don't know what you want to call it, a little photo op. So when the kids got dropped off, because this is the first real drop-off party, the kids getting dropped off, and I had made each little girl a teacup with their name on it, and then a little dish that it went in. And so I had them, as they came in, each, you know, pose for a picture before they got cake all over their nice little dresses. So I did that. And then actually one of the crafts that Lisa had organized for during the party was to decorate a picture frame. And then we were going to develop the pictures and then have them put it in their own frame. So that was my picture taking. And then, of course, like the cake shot. So I did some at the beginning and then some at the end when they did the cake. Always have to have that birthday cake blowout picture.
Right. Now,
that's it.
It should be noted that Sarah's 23, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It makes for a different tea party.
but the tea party was a hit. And here's just a word of parenting advice for those who want it. Learn how to make balloon animals when your kids are young. So for anybody out there, and yourself included, Al, who has a young daughter, probably the greatest skill that you will learn as a parent is learning how to make balloon animals. Wow, is it handy for parties or keeping children occupied when you need a couple of minutes.
What about providing food and shelter? Is that handy?
They're second and third.
Okay, so balloon animals and then house and food.
Right.
Yeah. Write that down.
Actually, a very simple skill. Lots of books. I've tons of YouTube videos. So in all seriousness, an unbelievably easy thing to learn. You can make it as complex as you want, but super, super handy for children. So there's my non-photography parenting tip of the week.
YouTube must be the greatest and worst thing at the same time. Like, YouTube can be a tremendous time waster when people send you a koala bear sneezing or something.
Right.
But on the other hand, when has there been a better time to learn how to make balloon animals?
Let me just, again, not to hit this point over the head, but I wanted to make something frilly for girls, so it's a tea party. And I know how to make a lot of standard balloon animals, but I decided, okay, I want to make something cute for the girls. In about 2 minutes, I YouTubed a video on how to make a simple, I think it was a 3-balloon bracelet, a flower bracelet for a little girl. And it was perfect. And they love those little flower bracelets. They put it on when they came in. And just like that, instant hero, instant party hero.
Wow. Technology sure is great.
Pretty sure your wife would be pretty happy if she showed up with a balloon bracelet for a party.
If my wife did?
Yeah, oh yeah. She showed up and there's a balloon bracelet ready for a party. You'd see. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be for the little ones.
Okay, good tip.
Yeah.
A lot of parenting tips, marriage tips. No photo tips yet.
We're getting to that. Yeah. That's what Dwayne's for.
Oh, nobody's listening to the show anymore. Are you kidding? Even I hung up. Oh, good. Balloon animals. Hey, what color balloons, Adam? You got red, you got blue, you got green.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get right into the photo challenge then.
Yep. What was it?
Long exposure. We were anticipating Dwayne's arrival on the show. And so we thought, rather than learn how to take long exposures and then do them, we'll just fail miserably.
And let Dwayne coach us.
And let Dwayne just rip on us. Or coach us. Sorry, coach us. Yeah. So
why don't we if that's the case, why don't we start with yours then?
Okay. Okay. Let's start with mine. I framed mine. It's on my wall. It's not. Okay, here's mine. This is called Gas Station.
Yeah.
Did you name yours, Adam?
No, I'm going to call mine Boats now, though. No, I'm going to call mine Boats.
Well, you said no. You didn't name it. So I took the time to name mine.
Okay.
I had plenty of time during the 30-second exposure to do that. So that's what this was. This was a 30-second exposure.
Wow. 30 seconds you wish you had back.
Oh, yeah. Pretty much this is a one-take Charlie and get out of there. When it comes to shooting long exposures, what little I do know is that you want to basically showcase that you it is a long exposure.
Okay.
That was my main goal, is to make sure it couldn't be achieved, you know, at 1/60th of a second, that it needed to be 15 or 30 seconds.
Okay.
And so my typical default in that situation is to showcase traffic. And I've shot a lot of these in Vancouver, up Granville Street, where I happen to like a lot, and there's a lot of traffic. But here in tubing in, especially at night, and it was, by the way, for some reason it got down to 0 degrees at night, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Which, out of nowhere. We hadn't talked about the weather on this episode like we always do.
So might as well, yeah. Throw that in there.
Get that in there. Anyway, so there's not very much traffic at all in tubing in the evening. And so I was sort of let down by that. So you see some of the streaks, but I got to tell you, overall, I should have called this picture boring.
Well, I'm glad you spent so much time talking about it.
Yeah.
So I don't have much to say. I don't particularly like it. Now go ahead, Dwayne, rip on them.
I think it's an all right picture. I think there's maybe a bit too much blue for my liking. Seems like the gas station's blue and the signage sort of over to the right is blue as well.
Like blue, Dwayne.
Yeah, I mean,
blue's his favorite
popular
color.
Yeah.
That's my nickname, Big Blue. That's took an odd twist.
Well, I don't think there's much else to say. Long exposure and you got some blue streaks. Yeah.
I noticed you stripped the metadata off it, though, so I couldn't see your camera settings.
Well, I think that's a default setting I have, yeah. It wasn't on purpose. It was ISO 100.
Yeah.
It was F16 at 1/30th of a second, this one. And so that's how you would sort of achieve those streaks. Like those streaks along the bottom are cars.
What, 1/30th of a second or 30 seconds?
Good point. 30 seconds. Yeah, not a fraction. It was 30 second exposure. So, and remarkably,
you figured if you weren't going to take a very good picture, you were going to definitely make it a long exposure.
Oh, absolutely. Right. That's what's going to happen here. I walked around kind of looking like what could I include? And the best parts of tubing in, because I've seen Dwayne's picture, and I'm going to sort of pre-excuse myself. The best parts of tubing in are no traffic zones. So I could not have achieved this in the old part of town, unfortunately, which would have been my, you know, that's what I would have tried. But it's all old cobblestone streets, and people don't drive there. So instead, we get the Aral gas station, which I thought, oh, hey, maybe I'll shoot that because that way people know it's Germany. But no, no one cares.
Okay. Well, let's move along.
Okay. Let's get into yours.
That's how I segue.
Yeah. Enough. Next.
My picture was taken in Steveston the other night, so I'm gonna kind of make my excuses. But basically what I wanted to do is I wanted to take a picture of a few of the boats down in the sort of Gary Point, Steveston Dock area. And I've looked at some long exposure pictures, and one of the things that I really like about some of the long exposure water pictures is how you get that sort of, you know, with the long exposure, you get sort of that glassy, kind of like almost like a painting, sort of brushstroke look on the water. So I went down to the dock, and it was just after sunset, so it was like 9 o'clock here, but with it being, you know, pretty bright, pretty late, I'm looking at the clock going, I really want to go to bed right now. And so I'm going to stay here for 20 more minutes. So I stayed until about 20 after 9 and got as little light as I could, and then took, I think I was at an f-stop of a 32, which on the 70 to 200 millimeter lens is the smallest aperture I can get. So I took it at an f-32 and then went, I could without having it being too bright, I could only get to about a 2 second exposure. So I'm on the dock, which, you know, the water's moving and the dock is very slightly moving. And I also found that if I tried to go any longer than 2 seconds, I wasn't getting a sharp image because there'd be slight movement on either on the boat end or on the camera, even though it's on a tripod on the other end. Mm-hmm. So I took a bunch, and even at 2 seconds, some of them weren't sharp. So I finally got a sharp one, and then I went home.
So you used your tripod?
I used my tripod, yes.
Now, it's kind of a lightweight tripod, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
But the tripod is fine because I've shot much longer exposures than this. It's the fact that I was on a dock with the dock slightly moving too.
Uh-huh. That doesn't...
So the camera might slightly be moving. The boats might slightly be moving. And so it was a bit of an effort to have even 2 seconds be steady enough for everything to be sharp.
And we know your policy on effort.
Well, I took more than one picture, so oh. I'm already ahead of you.
You make a valid point.
So here it is. I was actually pretty happy with the way that the water looked. It didn't look like this in a lot of the pictures. Like some of them, you could see a much more movement in the water. But I did get, I mean, probably with another half hour waiting around, I would have probably got a 4 or 5 second exposure and got more of the smoothness in the water that I wanted. But I was happy with how the water looked.
I agree. It does add like a little special quality to it. It's not something that you would achieve at, you know, 1/60th of a second.
Right.
Yours is a very subtle long exposure. Yours is a better photo than mine. Before I rip on it, it is a better photo than mine. There's no question.
I agree wholeheartedly.
That's good to know. And overall, it doesn't scream long exposure to me, which I guess the challenge wasn't scream long exposure. So
all right, well, Dwayne, do you have any feedback how I could have made this better?
I think the only way you could have sort of got a more, like you said, the painting-like look in the water without staying an extra half an hour or 40 minutes is by adding a filter, a two-stop ND filter, and then you could have exposed it for longer. That would have given you that same look.
And we talked a little bit, but just, again, refresh my memory, like an ND filter won't change white balance, right? That's just going to darken the image, but white balance is going to stay constant.
That's correct. The colors are going to stay the same. It's a neutral density filter. So they're going to stay the same. It's just going to physically, you know, add a couple of stops to whatever you're shooting. So you'll be able to shoot longer at the same time instead of staying later or waiting for less light.
Do you have one now? Do you have an ND filter?
Not for my current setup, no. I shoot with them mostly for film and video.
Right, and that makes sense to me that with video, because you're at a constant shutter speed, right? So you almost would need that.
Yep. They're usually built into the camera, depending on what camera you're using. Not the 5D, of course, but like dedicated video cameras tend to have ND filters built in. And what ends up happening is you end up shooting with one and then forget that it's on. And then you move back inside and wonder why you have to shoot everything at plus 12 on the gain. So my advice there is don't forget that you have your ND filter on. So when you're walking around getting shutter speeds of 1/10 or 10 seconds indoors, that's probably why.
Right.
Ever happened to you, Dwayne?
It, you know what? Well, my ND filters, I use a Lee setup, so I can kind of see them there all the time. But what, you know, there are things that I'll do that I'll change an ISO setting, and it's getting cold outside, so I throw everything in the bag, and the next time I start to shoot, I'm at ISO 800, and I can't figure out how come everything's just white.
Yeah. Do that all the time. We recommend put your camera away in neutral, but sometimes it doesn't happen. So let's have a look at your picture, Dwayne. So this one is taken. I'm going to go ahead and say Gastown.
Yeah, this is Gastown. This is the steam clock. It's Tourist Central in Vancouver. So I think we probably took this one about 9 o'clock.
I'm going to say about 8:43. 8:47, I meant. Damn it.
Is that in the EXIF data?
That's in the clock.
Oh. I wasn't looking at the clock.
Oh, it's on the clock. I didn't even notice the clock, but yeah.
There you go. And then I was looking at the clock and I didn't put the time together. I don't tell time well.
I'll be fair. The joke would have been funnier if I got the 2 minutes correct. The 8:47.
Yeah, 8:47. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to cut that anyway. I'll put that in there. All of a sudden it's going to say, yeah, it'd be funnier if it was 8:43. Yeah. So.
But this one was just shot similar to what Adam does for his long exposure there. These are shot really stopped down. I like to get down to about F-18, or I think this one will be probably F-22. Would have been shot with a 24-105 F-4 lens. Yeah, I quite like that one because it's stabilized. It gives you that little bit of forgiveness if you have a car drive by crazy fast and you get a little wiggle in your tripod.
Right.
But this will be about, I think, in the data, it'll show this is a 13-second exposure, which is really typical for that time of night in that area because there's a lot of crazy bright lights that tend to burn in pretty quick.
Great. Well, I think it's clear who the winner is.
Is it me?
Well, gas station takes it again. To be fair, I'm the only judge, so I can't believe you didn't see it going that way.
Yeah.
No, I think... If you're going to see any of them on anybody's wall, I think it's going to be Dwayne's. And
I agree. Mine's second, though. I'm second place.
It'll be much small, like in the bathroom, maybe. A wall that you don't have, you know.
And yours is in the back of some guy's wallet.
If that. No, no one's printing mine. I think if I took mine into the Photoshop, they would be, no, I can't print this. Yeah. Are you sure, sir? This is awful. Yeah. It is wide, though. I did apply last week's Go Wide, or 2 weeks ago, Go
Yeah,
Wide.
Yeah, I saw how you cropped it and everything. You're like, I'm going to salvage this with just a crop.
Well, I knew the crop was coming at the beginning. That was what that was on purpose. But I knew I would shoot with a 17mm lens. That was my plan. So that part, mission accomplished. All right, moving on. This week's topic.
So what's the topic?
My abject failure as a photographer. And how we can overcome that.
Okay.
So it's going to get dark, so you buckle up your seatbelts. This week's topic, long exposure, as luck would have it.
Wow.
What a
great lead-in.
We call that synergy, I think, or something. Thing about long photography or long exposure photography is I know a little bit about it. I know enough to be dangerous, but I also know enough that when you have an expert on the show, you be quiet and listen. So... talking to you, Adam.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
No,
I was just about to tune out.
Yeah, I'm playing my new wrestling game.
Yeah.
Have you seen wrestling on the iPod? It's awesome. So, first of all, Dwayne, what is long exposure? Like, where's the sort of the cutoff between where does long exposure become intentional long exposure, I guess?
I was actually talking with Adam today about this, and I like to think of long exposure as anything that you can't handhold. So if it's down to, you know, I'm not quite as sturdy as a lot of people, so you know, at 1/20th of a second, everything's blurry for me. So I like to start, you know, I like to think long exposures really start around the 1 second mark, and then anything sort of longer than that is long.
Great. So what do you look for? Like what do you photograph when you're going to go out and what sort of subject matter lends itself to long exposure photography?
Water is fantastic for long exposure. You know, being able to have the water kind of look like it's a painting, rushing or waves even makes it just sort of look very, I don't know the word. Artsy.
Blurry?
Yeah, blurry. It looks very, very blurry. And I think that when we have something that's blurred and something in focus, as a lot of photographers, they like to see that.
Okay, so like something like I see a lot of waterfalls are very popular.
Waterfalls are very popular. You know, the freeway is very popular as well, getting the long line of headlights and brake lights coming towards you and going away. It works fantastic if there's some sort of curve involved. So if you have a turn in the road.
Or a disco ball, maybe? It's a callback. That's a callback to like 800 episodes ago.
I was going to call back the one that you actually took a freeway picture, didn't you?
I did, but we never used it. I took a disco ball picture for the last time we did a long exposure, which was ages ago.
Yeah, I know. Okay, we've been over that more than once. But
great picture, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's framed in my bathroom. did we not use the photo you took of the freeway?
No, we never used it.
Okay, great. Well, I'm glad I brought it up.
Yeah.
Freeways do look good, and you, when you say it's good to have a curve in it, why is that?
Well, the curve just adds to the in a freeway or a traffic situation, you'll actually see some bend in the light, so it kind of draws you either in or away from with instead of just being straight lights, which sort of can be a little on the boring side. But I think that's what my picture was just straight lights.
Yet not boring, but that's you're more around the surrounding area, which is interesting. But what I like about the freeway lights is obviously if you get both lanes, you get both red and white light kind of interacting.
Definitely,
yeah.
With the I've seen a lot of fireworks shots too. That seems to be another popular long exposure target.
Really popular with long exposure work. It's the only problem that I've ever found photographing fireworks is the crowds around you always seem to bump the tripod when the explosions are going off, and you just end up with a blurry image.
And a fist fight.
And a fist fight.
Yeah.
And skylines. There's another one that I saw a ton of sort of long exposures. I guess when you get when you're far away and you want to get the lights from the skyline plus water, even better if you've got water and a reflection in the water, and then like a city like Vancouver where you've got the buildings right on the water, I think lends itself well to a lot of long exposure photography.
That's a great point, Adam, because oftentimes when I think of long exposures, my first thing is like you're trying to capture motion, because with a longer exposure obviously you can showcase that. But that's a great example of when you want to basically take a little bit of light and really maximize it and balance things out.
I'm not just a pretty face. I just want to let you know that.
That's what's the longest? Sorry, Dwayne.
No, nothing. Nothing.
What's the longest exposure you've taken?
Longest one I did was it was about 12 minutes. And that was with a Lee filter on. It's called the Big Stopper, and it's it works out to an ND10 filter.
Okay.
So shooting with that just at sort of dusk is fantastic. You can shoot with that in the daytime, and you can pretty much get things looking like it's night. If you shoot things like a bridge. The new bridges look very cool and very appealing. You can go on the bridge and shoot it in the middle of the daytime, and you'll end up with no traffic in your photograph because, a 10-minute exposure with this 10-stop filter on, well, the traffic flies by too fast and the cars are gone by the time the camera has had the time to absorb that image. So you'll end up with almost an empty-looking street. Or bridge.
That's pretty creepy. That's awesome. That's great. I had never thought of using it in that fashion. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why that shot that I did, that one for the challenge, I think I had about probably one or two people walk in front of the frame in this one. But because you're shooting such stop down, at F22 on this one, if somebody walks across for 1 second or 2 seconds, the camera doesn't have time to absorb that light. So you can really kind of, it's a little more forgiving than standard photography.
Great, great point.
I just yell at people when they get near the shot.
Yes. Especially in that neighborhood.
Yeah. That's more forgiving than anything.
That's a great spot to be vocal with all your equipment. Good way to get rid of it. Yeah. So when you make a 12-minute exposure, is that something like you put on bulb and just kind of hold down?
No, for that, yeah. So you would put it on bulb, but you know, with any long exposure, the best way to do it is with a remote shutter release, right? On a sturdy tripod, and then just with a remote shutter release, and just hold it down on bulb for 12 minutes. I just use the timer on my iPhone to sort of gauge it.
Great. Well, that brings us to the next question. What equipment do you need? Obviously, if you're going to be shooting stuff at the 1 second mark, you're likely not going to hand hold it.
I would think you wouldn't be able to.
And in fact, I don't know if you saw the post on Google Plus. I meant to send it to you. I posted a photo I took at Piccadilly Circus a couple years back in London. So I'm guessing by your you didn't see it.
Are you talking to me?
No, I know you didn't see it.
I didn't see it.
Okay. It's basically, I made an attempt at a Piccadilly Circus at night. It's pretty cool. There's lights everywhere and there's traffic, and I decided I would do a long exposure. But first of all, I didn't travel with a tripod. And second of all, I don't think they even let you use them in London anyway. And so I made an attempt at doing a handheld, and it is terrible. So what kind of a tripod do you shoot with?
I use just a Manfrotto, just like I think the legs are a 190 and just a little ball head on it. You can really get some great results from any tripod that's kind of sturdy. You don't need to spend crazy money on it. But a lot of the lower end tripods will actually have a hook on the bottom of the center column.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know what that's for. And if you actually hang your camera bag from it, it'll give some more stability. It'll lower the center of gravity of the tripod. It'll make it heavier and keep it more stable.
Great. Adam, does yours have a hook?
No, it does not.
Oh, mine does.
Oh.
I don't have a tripod.
Mine's not lower. Mine's higher end. That's what that
is. This is the show that got defensive. No, I don't even have a tripod, so you're ahead of me on that one as well. Rough week. Rough week for the A-Train, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Okay, so yeah, tripod, definitely. I used for my Magnum Opus gas station shot, I used the Gorillapod.
They're fantastic, yeah.
Yeah,
so a Gorillapod. I mean, you can even use, a beanbag in the roof of your car. As long as it's pretty stable, you're good. But a tripod just lets you access more places.
Okay, and when do you typically want to shoot? Well, before we get into that, actually, what if you're going to shoot a long exposure, are you worried about camera shake at all, like when you press the shutter? Is that ever an issue?
Definitely, it's an issue, and there's sort of two ways around it. You can use a shutter release, so a remote shutter release, either wireless or wired, and it just will plug into a port on your camera, and then you can click the shutter that way, and it's not shaking. The other way to do it is just by using the camera's self-timer. So set it on self-timer and click the button. And then by the time you've clicked it and sort of wiggled that camera a little bit, it'll give you whatever, five or 12 seconds to before it takes the image, starts right. Recording the image. So
I used the 2 second timer on the gas station shot.
Perfect.
And I did the same on my shot, the 2 second timer.
Look at
perfect.
Us.
One thing on when you are shooting long exposures, a lot of people have their camera straps dangling. In a city like Vancouver, where we get a fair amount of wind, the camera strap will actually catch enough wind to move the camera a little bit. So most of the higher-end camera straps have little buckles on them where they detach. So either detaching it or even just wrapping it around a tripod leg is a great idea.
Now, that's a great tip. That's worth tuning in for, just that.
Too bad it took to the 82nd minute.
We're going to open with that. Yeah, take your strap off. All right, see you next week. Yeah, the rest you'll figure out. Don't worry about it. No, that's a great tip, because I think I didn't run into that because my camera was so low to the ground, but I would have. I would have had an issue with that, and we hate to ruin a good shot like that, so that would have been a good tip. What other pitfalls do you need to look out for, like when you're shooting? Like, how do you meter for a long exposure shot?
long exposures are really kind of a thing that you'll get the feel of the time of the day and the amount of ambient light. Much like anything in photography, you'll start to learn what how many seconds you're going to have to photograph for to get a general ballpark. You know, there's no real light meter that you can set out there because you're doing stuff that the camera is not typically going to do on an automatic mode. So after a while of practice, I like to start out with about a 6 second exposure, and then from there I'll decide whether I need to go really long or you know, tune it back a bit.
Okay, what would make you want to go longer than that?
Going longer than that will be if I'm shooting something with very little light around. So a lot of the times, you know, you're waiting for traffic to come to you, so there's no headlights coming at you, so you have to set up for a bit longer to allow for them to get there. Or you're shooting in an area that has very little street lights, or if you are shooting, you know, in the daytime with an ND filter on to sort of minimize the light, you're going to sort of end up going really long. Shooting with a ND filter on in the daytime, you can trick the camera into thinking it's nighttime. So if you put a 8-stop ND filter, you will end up probably having to shoot at, you know, most of the long exposure stuff is done small f-stops so that you get maximum focus.
Right.
And if you have an 8-stop ND filter on there and you're shooting at f22, the amount of time the shutter has to be open, even in the daytime, will probably be around the 1 to 1.5 minute mark.
Okay, so where do you start with ISO? If you're going to make a long exposure, what sort of ISOs are we looking at?
I prefer to stay with the 5D. I like to go at 50 because I just want to get remove as much noise as I can from that image. I like to turn the long exposure noise reduction off on the camera.
Okay.
Because I found that the camera doesn't necessarily always know what's best for me with the in-body software.
Okay. So ISO, you go as low as you possibly can.
As low as you possibly can. And that's just to get the best possible image quality.
Okay, that's my instinct, is always to go out, basically shoot the lowest ISO, the smallest aperture you can, and that's going to provide the longest shutter speed.
Definitely.
And then give you something to work with. Now you say you turn off the long exposure. What is it called? The compensation?
Yeah, the long exposure noise reduction. Yeah, each camera will have something called a little bit different, but I think that's what the Canons call them. And for what will end up happening is you'll end up with areas of the image that are would usually be a bit of a gradient from gray to black. They'll be really blotchy.
Okay.
Because the camera's tried to figure out that there's supposed to be some gray and supposed to be some black here, so it's almost pixelated when you end up looking at it on the screen. I mean, if you're shooting RAW, it's not a big deal, but if you do shoot JPEG with these things, and even when looking at the display on the back, it's going to look a bit off.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because the display image is of the JPEG no matter what, even if you shoot RAW.
That's correct. And it also will take a lot. Like on the 5D Classic, if you shoot a 15-second exposure with noise reduction on, it's going to take 15 seconds to render that little picture before you can even see it on the rear screen. So with it off, it's almost instant.
Adam, is yours turned off?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
I do have something that I'm probably not the only one thinking, is that all this talk about, you know, neutral density filters, and I understand that, you know, the cost of these is not great. If I was going to go out and buy a neutral density filter for one of my lenses, because as I understand it, obviously different lenses have a different size need for a filter, so I'd have to go out and get one for each specific lens. But let's say I wanted to go out and get one specific for, you know, my 70 to 200 millimeter lens. Do you have a recommendation on one particular filter that I'd get sort of the most use out of?
There's a Lee filter out now that's a neutral density filter that's variable. So it works similar to a CPL filter, a polarizer, where you can physically turn the outer rim of the filter and it will darken. And I think they're about $77. So if you are buying, like in the Canon series, if you're sticking with L glass, pretty much all of it is a 77 mil filter. So you only have to buy the one.
Although I think my 70-200 is a 67 millimeter filter. So I'm...
Is it a 67?
Yeah. The F4 70-200 is a smaller than the 2.8 anyways. And that's probably the 77 one.
Yeah, it must be. So, I mean, you know, it'll be in about the same price point, and they'll make it in a very of sizes, right?
And that mounts right onto your camera, and you would just leave it on there?
Well, you wouldn't leave it on. You'd only put it on when you would be doing long exposure.
But can you just not switch it off, like, or rotate it so that there's no filter there, or no?
I think the variable only goes down to about a 0.9 stop, so that if you were trying to do that, you'd be shooting, you know, a couple or a few stops, stop down every time.
But they do go on and off relatively quickly?
Definitely. They're just a screw on. They're the same, exactly the same as a UV filter. They just screw on.
I'm not a filter guy. I've never used a filter, so I'm literally asking because I'm in the dark on this one.
You could also buy a step-down adapter for them. If you wanted to buy the largest ND filter, like the one that fits your largest lens, yeah. You can also buy what they call step down rings. Step down rings. I should have done my homework.
Almost sounded smart
on the nomenclature. Yeah, step down rings that you can basically adapt your large ND filters for your smaller lenses.
Definitely, that's a way to do it. There's a variety of systems out there. Kokin makes a system that you slide the filters into, and they have various rings that you can screw on. So you basically need to buy a filter holder, a couple of filters, and then there's rings. You'll be able to buy a kit of rings to fit most popular sizes with like five different rings for, you know, about $25. So you can fit it on anything, and they're a rectangular filter, so they slide into the holder.
Right.
And you can stack them. So if you don't have enough ND filters so if you wanted to make it darker, if you were shooting in the daytime and ND 8 wasn't dark enough, you'll be able to stack three in there. So you can stack an 8, a 2, and a 4. So you can get it very dark.
And the beautiful thing about shooting now, like, this is a great time to be shooting with ND filters. Back in the old days when you were shooting film and you're metering externally, you had to remember and know how many ND filters you had on the camera. This way you're actually metering through the lens, so it's metering through all your ND filters already, so you don't have to do all that math.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about messing that up.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep everyone posted if I actually do and go get one, because it is something that, you know, in doing this exercise of taking a long exposure, I really quite like the effect that you can achieve. But my biggest problem out there was, like, again, just too much light. At this time of year, I don't want to be out taking pictures at 10 o'clock to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be in bed.
My advice for people is, like, when they go out and spend $2,400 on their L glass, just buy the cheapest ND filter you can. It doesn't matter. Right. If it's $8 or less, yeah, buy two.
No, you didn't catch that, but when I said I wanted to go to bed, I meant right now.
Yeah, no, we thought you already had. Okay, so my last question then, you may not know the answer to this. I'm going to put you on the spot anyway. I've noticed a big difference between shooting long exposures with film and with digital is every now and then I sort of get, I guess what would be sort of like, instead of a straight line, I get a series of dots. Have you ever come across that, Dwayne?
I noticed it on your picture that you sent me and asked me. I've never come across it on mine. I was wondering if it was something to do with the camera settings? Is it just happened on one camera that you've been using?
It's happened a few times. It actually happened because the picture I sent you of from Vancouver, of the Stanley Theater, that was my 40D. And I noticed on one of the shots, I actually took more than one shot of the gas station. I hate to admit it. One of them, during one of those shots, a large, a semi truck came by. And so it had lights up top. And so it kind of created a weird streak across the top of the image, but it was all segmented. And that was with my 5D. So that was with a different camera. And so I have no clue if that's something to do with digital or if that's just a complete fluke.
I think it's a new technique that you've invented, myself.
I have another question, unrelated to yours, because to me your question is boring, Al. But I have a question for Dwayne in response, because we were talking a bit about he does a lot of long exposure flash photography. And so we haven't hit on any of that, but I'm interested in how exactly does that work? Because now you're taking a long exposure, but then you're adding in a whole bunch more light to that exposure. So how does that work, and why would we do that?
We can do that. I do a bunch of that, and I actually do that for product photography for the electronics that I shoot. And what the manufacturer will have is a product that lights up. Now, they want everything in focus. They want a white background, but they want to be able to see the little LCD screen, and they want to see all the power lights coming on. So what I will do is I'll end up with about a 1.6-second exposure at usually about F11, and I'll do the flash on the first curtain. A lot of people like to do a flash on a second, synced with the second curtain, and that's great for showing motion. However, this stuff is just, product, so they're just sitting there. And the flash will initially go off when the shutter opens. So I'll get a nice clean image of the product. And then when the shutter stays open, it's absorbing those lights that are on the product and the little LCD screen. And that allows me to get illustrate that there's lights here and there's little screens here.
So that's a great way to sort of mix two exposures.
Definitely, yeah. And it saves. In the old days, with film, we used to do that, and you'd have to basically take two images and merge them together, and then take another shot of it, a line shot or something. And
back when
it was much more complicated.
Back when Photoshop was an X-Acto knife and a ruler. Yeah. I've done that.
But other than that, the syncing it with the second curtain, if you were going to photograph something like a runner running for maybe 1.5 seconds, you can open the shutter with them running. And as the shutter, when it syncs with the second curtain, it'll illuminate the runner where they ended up very bright. And there will be a trail behind that you'll see sort of where they were. And it'll really give a real motion to it.
I'll have to try that.
Great. Well, I think that that's going to get us started. I'll take a better picture now with that info is what I'm telling you.
I don't know that I could do much better. Mine was pretty awesome.
That's true. Yeah. It looks like a Turner painting. Great. All right. That means for next week's challenge, Adam, I got one that is really boring.
Okay, I can't wait. Is it take a picture at a gas station and mail it in?
Maybe. Okay, so this next week's challenge, Adam, we're going to shoot a bag.
Really?
Did you hang up again?
No, I didn't hang up. I didn't hang up the first time.
Next week, we're going to talk about camera bags. We have a lot of requests about camera bags, and you just bought one and did all your research, so we'd like to share that.
I would love to share that.
So in an effort to sort of tie that in, I've decided we're going to have to shoot a bag as the challenge photo.
Really?
Yeah, well, why don't you just make it creative and interesting?
Okay, I'll try to do that. But is it just any bag, a handbag, a man bag, a purse, or it has to be a camera bag?
I said a bag.
All right.
It could be whatever you want.
All right.
It could be your hockey bag.
Why do you got to be so angry?
Okay, so there you go. It's a bag. And then we'll talk about camera bags. And again, they'll all tie together in a neat little bow.
Okay. So why don't we let Dwayne tell us about where we can find him and his stuff and all the things that he does.
I would like for that. I've checked out your site, Dwayne. You don't just do long exposure photos, do you?
No, I do a little bit of everything, but...
A little bit of the ones I liked was the athletic stuff, the MMA stuff.
Yeah, me too. I love those pictures.
They look great.
Thanks, guys.
So why don't you tell us where we can see all of those?
We can see more of my work at dgphoto.ca, and all my best stuff's on there.
Now, to clarify, because I made the mistake, and that is dgphoto.ca. Very important.
.ca. We're in Canada, so.
There's a .com who isn't you.
And you mentioned earlier that you do photo workshops. Is that sort of info that can be found on your website too?
The workshops can't be found through the that website. Actually, the workshops are all posted through the blog, and the blog is available at canongangsta.com.
Okay.
Now that's gangsta.
Gangsta.
Yeah, okay. Right. That's great.
And that's the blog, you said? That's where the blog is?
That's the blog.
All right.
Adam, I saw it before I get into it. I saw some pictures from your wife's blog last week.
Okay.
Her anniversary post.
Yes.
The pictures are really good, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm trying to say it without sounding surprised, but
yeah, no, I was happy. I guess I should have said that in the pictures that I took in this last week, but that was one of the other things we did. We went down at one of my favorite spots and took some pictures at Carey Point. And yeah, those pictures are on my wife's blog, and she did a sort of 2-year anniversary post of her blog. And you know what? Actually, this is shameless promotion for my wife, but she's recently got nominated for a blog award, a Vancouver top 30 blogs in Vancouver. So I think there was initially 90 nominations. So someone who reads her blog nominated her, and now she's made the top 30. So I guess it gets voted on, and there's some big party she's going to go to. But she, and I said, is it just a mommy blog thing? And apparently not. Apparently there's a number of mommy blogs included, but it's just it was sort of an open nomination for a Vancouver blog award. So maybe she'll win something on the heels of my amazing photos.
Oh, you made it about yourself.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, if she wins anything. It's also, I take credit for all her best posts because I feel that it's my ideas. Yeah, I take credit because I feed her the ideas. I'm like, make this happen, here's the idea, and then she sort of puts the words to it, but really it's all my conception.
Yeah. Wow. And
she's
honestly,
laughing in the background. That's her laughing in the background.
And to be fair, she had the good foresight to A, marry you, and B, have kids with you.
Right.
So really, yeah.
It's all me.
I think you should work on your speech right now, man. I'd love to see you elbow your way up the front of the podium there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So schwartzchronicles.com. That was the roundabout way of saying you can find pictures at schwartzchronicles.ca. You know what I'm going to do, though? And soon enough, like I'm sick of her riding my coattails, is I'm going to actually start my own just photography. I know I said this before. I'm going to follow through. I just have to have her help to figure out how you actually do this.
Oh, it sounds like she's willing to help you now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm sure she is. Mm-hmm. And then promote it through her blog. But no, I'm going to set up my own little photo blog where I just post photos so that I can say something that has my name in the title.
Yeah, make it again the vanity. Good call.
Yes, all about me. Yeah. How about your stuff, Alan? Where can we find it?
Well, that's at my name, alanatridge.com.
Yes,
coincidentally enough, there's the vanity. But the two of us can be found at twohosers.com. That's where you can find everything you need to know. Twitter, Flickr, all the R's, the ers can be found there. And Google Plus, Adam's hockey card. You can find that there.
Yep.
And you can go there to find out what you should write to Adam Carolla to get us on the Ace Broadcasting Network.
And if we can't get on there, we're going to start selling coffee mugs and hats.
Coffee mugs and hats and taking credit for other people's blogs. That's what we're going to do. So... Until next week, get out there and make better photos.